Now it's a warm, sticky evening, and I don't intend to keep you here too long this evening. I could do on a chapter like this that we have in front of us, well, we could spend far more minutes than just this evening, probably even last a whole year, particularly if we turned and divided it up as Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones did in his great series of sermons on Ephesians. But it's good that we can look at it, and I feel probably this evening we're just going to sort of rake the surface rather than dig into it. In fact, as soon as you start digging, so you seem to get deeper and deeper and more involved, and we don't want to do that this evening. We want to just look at the general teaching that the Apostle Paul gives us here in those 10 verses of this second chapter of his letter to the Ephesians. But let's just ask for the help of the Holy Spirit as we turn to it. Let us pray. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you once again for your word. We thank you for this spiritual food upon which we can feed. Lord, we've had food spiritually this morning. We've had food physically in our daily meals. But Lord, again, we come to you tonight and we want to be fed with that spiritual food that will nourish our souls and build us up and draw us nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we commit ourselves into your hands. We ask that your Holy Spirit will be upon us, upon congregation, and upon preacher, that together we might be united in your word. And Lord, we ask that you will pour out a blessing upon us. Help us, Lord, to take what you have to say. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to be doers of it to your glory. We ask this in the Saviour's name. Amen. Well, as Jeff reminded us this morning, and as I'm going to remind you again this evening, last week we looked at the first chapter of Ephesians. And I said right at the beginning of that sermon that really, in a way, we can say this is a short course in what theologians call ecclesiology. In other words, here is the Apostle Paul talking, writing to Christians. The Christians there at Ephesus. And he's writing to them, just talking to them about Christianity, about their church, about them coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is teaching them about the church and about what they as individuals are as Christians. We saw last week the fact that the Apostle Paul needed to challenge them and to help them to realize that they were Christians not because they chose God, but that he chose them. It was all his doing. He had adopted us. He had accepted us. God the Father chose you, if you're a Christian tonight, before the foundation of the world. Isn't that a marvellous fact? When you stop and think about it, that before this world was created, God had chosen you if you are his child. God the Father. And then we saw that God the Son, he came and he redeemed us, that we might be forgiven. And he revealed to us God's will and the fact that we can have that great inheritance in him. He is the heir of the family of God. And we are joint heirs in that family. We are God's children. And we are inheritors of his wonderful riches and kingdom. And we saw how God's Holy Spirit sealed us, gave us that guarantee that we indeed will be redeemed. If you are a believer then, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, it is because something has happened to you. Once you were dead. Now you are alive. And the Apostle Paul comes to this portion of Scripture, and he wants to draw the attention of these Christians, having talked about the spiritual blessings that they receive in Christ, giving that wonderful prayer of thanksgiving, asking blessing upon the church there at Ephesus. And then he comes back, as it were, and he says, as for you, as for you. He's coming, as it were, back to earth, and he's saying to them, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions, but now you're alive. And he goes on to open that up. And then in the latter half of this chapter, he says, once you were cut off, but now you've been brought near. But it's those first 10 verses that, just for a few moments this evening, I want us to concentrate upon, that we indeed might learn something through God's Holy Spirit speaking to us as we look at these words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, as I said, brings us down with a bump. He brings us, as it were, back to earth. He wants us to know what we were. Before we became Christians, before we knew the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, before we became God's children, we were dead in trespasses and sins. It's not a pretty picture, is it? When you sit back and you look at yourself, and you realize that at one time, before you became a Christian, you were dead in trespasses and sins. What a picture of a lost sinner. Think back to those days when you were unconverted. For some, it's a long, long time ago. Some were converted as a child. Some were converted in young adulthood. Some in middle adulthood. Some perhaps have been converted only for a short while. But we can all look back, can we not, to the time in which we did not belong to Christ, and we were outside of his kingdom. And Paul says we were dead. Oh, we were alive physically, but spiritually we were dead. We were very active in the physical world, but dead to God. We would respond to the world around us. We take an active part in the life of the world in which we are situated, and we would do all the things that men and women of the world would be doing. But we were unable to understand and to appreciate spiritual things. Just as a person who is physically dead does not respond to any physical stimuli. Go up to a corpse and speak to it, and it doesn't answer you. Go up to a corpse and poke it, and it does not respond. So a person is spiritually dead, unable to understand spiritual things, unable to respond to spiritual things. Now, we often talk about, do we not, the fact that sin is a disease. Sin is a disease. We say people are spiritually sick with sin. But you know, when we weren't a Christian, we weren't affected by a disease. We were dead. Dead spiritually. Outside of God's kingdom. Some were brought up in the church. Some went to church very regularly and sat under good sound preaching, participated in hymns, listened to God's word, reading, had Christian fellowship, even heard God speaking, but did not listen. They didn't want to listen, wanted to go their own way. Think back. Can you remember a time when you wanted to go your own way? When you responded rather to the world than to spiritual things? Oh, you knew all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You knew all about the fact that he came and he died and he rose again from the dead and he ascended into the glory and that he is offering salvation. But you wanted to follow the ways of the world. You put that behind your back. And as such, going the way of the world, we fell into sin. We repeatedly broke God's laws. We sinned constantly, and we didn't care. It meant nothing to us. We were, as Paul says, dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. Dead to God. There was that barrier of sin there between us and God, and we didn't respond to God. And as being dead spiritually, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we were disobedient. We were disobedient. He says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. We were disobedient to God. Now, with shame, we think of those times in which we did not honour God. We think of such times when we sinned against him and willfully sinned. We lived lives in active opposition to God. Oh, it might have been a good, respectable life, a good life. We might have been very helpful to our neighbours, very loving to our neighbours. We might have been very good people, as the world would see us. Nevertheless, we were disobedient because we were not following the way that God would have us go. We walked and we followed in the ways of this world. We walked with the crowd and not with God. We lived lives of lusts of the flesh, fulfilling our own desires, desires of the flesh and the mind, the way of human nature. We went our own way. We were dead spiritually, and we were disobedient. But Paul has a little more to say. And there in verse 3 he says, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Wrath is anger in action. And you know, when we were non-Christians, when we didn't know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and in fact, even from time to time when we came to know him, the Saviour and Lord, angry outbursts could be part of our lives, particularly at our unconverted days. Bad temper always found where people live, are always found where people live for themselves. But Paul is not talking about this here. Our anger is always tainted by sin. But Paul is talking about the fact that God is holy. Therefore, his anger is always pure. And our God is angry. In fact, he is furious with anything that is impure. And as sinners, we are impure. He is angry with sin because it spoiled his creation. God is angry with sinners because they have rejected him. They've turned their backs on him. They've wanted to go their own way. They do what they do because what they are. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when speaking to Nicodemus there in John chapter 3 and verse 18, says, "Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed." Therefore we are under God's condemnation as an unbeliever. We are damned. We are heading for eternal damnation. That was our state before we became Christians, before we came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. "As for you," says Paul, "you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rule of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and followed its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." That's what we were, says Paul. Oh, he'd just been talking to these Christians about the blessings that they were receiving as Christians. Blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ. The way in which they had been brought back to God. But he comes down and he brings them down with a bump. And he says, "You were dead. You were dead spiritually. That's what you were. But gladly and happily, that's not where the Apostle Paul stops. He goes on to talk about what you and I are. What God has done for us. And as we look there at verse 4 through to verse 7, we read this: But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." If you are a Christian today, if you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, if you're not still dead in your trespasses and sins, you have experienced a spiritual resurrection. An event of such importance that the Bible calls it the first resurrection. When spiritual resurrection comes to you through your union with Christ, in whom you were chosen. Remember that last week we saw that we didn't come to Christ of our own volition. We came because God called us and because he chose us. He chose us, he called us, we responded to his call, and we become alive. Once we were not accepted by God, but now we have become acceptable to him. We belong to him. Our sin has been covered by the blood, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. We've been forgiven. We've been cleansed. We've been clothed in the righteousness of the Lamb of God. And we belong to God. We are his children. We are alive in Christ Jesus. In verse 6, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we've been accepted. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. We've been raised up with Christ. We've been accepted. Where is Jesus right now? We are right with him. There. Or we're still upon earth, and we still have these earthly lives to live. But the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us. We're with him. He's filling our lives. We belong to him. We are God's children. We're a member of his family. And where the Lord Jesus Christ is, so are we. Because he is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Once we are God's child, we belong to him. That's why we can come to God in prayer. God is always there with us. God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit is there present in our lives. That's why we can always come and speak with him in prayer. That barrier of sin has been removed. We are God's children. And then, says the Apostle Paul, you can be assured. You can be assured. Verse 7. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved. God has raised us up in Christ Jesus. God has accepted us because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us in giving his life for us upon the cross. God's purpose in redeeming us is to exhibit his own glory. For he says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God glorifies himself. And he brings together all those who know and love him as Saviour and as Lord. Those that have been chosen. Those that have been redeemed. Those who've been called. And God will gather all together there in his heaven. Every true believer will be there. And God will show the exceeding riches of his grace as he looks there upon his children, those that he has saved, those that he's called and chosen, those whom his son died for upon the cross. So, what were we? Once we were dead in trespasses and sins. What are you and where are you now? You're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been accepted by God the Father. You've been assured of your salvation in him. What made the difference? What made the difference? Look back at verses 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And again he repeats it, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. You were in spiritual darkness. You were dead spiritually. Who gave you life? Well, it wasn't yourself, was it? It was God. It was his divine work in your life. Work that you couldn't do. You couldn't help yourself. You were a sinner, dead in sin. And you had no power to help yourself. Because of your fallen nature, you were spiritually dead. But God came to you. God chose you. Because he loved you. He chose you before the foundation of the world, and he sent his Son to redeem you and to bring you back to him, the lost soul, the one who is dead. And it is through his grace, through his love, through his mercy, that you have been saved. It is by grace you have been saved. That is why you are a Christian today, if you know and love him as Saviour Lord. Because God has called you, having chosen you, and brought you to himself. It has been God who has been at work in your life. It is the grace of God. The grace that God has poured out upon this world of lost men and women. God in his grace chose some to be his children and to gather them into his kingdom. And he brought that light and life to those whom he chose. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive when we were dead. And God raised us up with Christ. And in verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved. It is a gift of God. God has given you life in Christ Jesus. It's a gift. You haven't earned it. You haven't done anything special in order to gain it. God chose you. And God has given you life in Christ Jesus because he chose you and because he loved you. It's his mercy and his grace. So how did we become Christians? Through God's grace. We came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and as our Lord. We received God's grace through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, having repented of our sins, and we know the love of God in our lives. And this is manifest in the way we live, in our good works, in our good deeds. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, verse 10, for which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if you're a Christian here this evening, you have been made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ when once you were dead, and you received the grace of God, and you put your faith in Lord Jesus Christ, and you trust him, and you're walking with him now in the Christian life, and he has promised, he's put that seal upon you, and he will not let go of you. God's seal is never broken. God's Holy Spirit will bring you through. But is there somebody here tonight who doesn't know and love the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, you've heard the gospel, you know the gospel, you've heard that you can have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, but you still want to follow the ways of the world. You still want to, what you think, enjoy the ways of the world. But God says that way is a way that leads to eternal damnation. In that way you remain dead to me. God is calling you. God is speaking to your heart. If you hear God's voice speaking to you, will you not respond? Will you not respond? If God has chosen you, if God is calling you, will you not turn to him in repentance and in faith? And instead of being dead and lost to God, you become alive in Christ Jesus, and you have that eternal life with your sins forgiven. That's what God has promised. Now, eternal life is not just an everlasting life, though it is, but it's a life of higher quality. It's a life filled with the glory of God.
as the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life and you walk with him day by day. Dear friends, if God is calling you, do not reject him. Do not turn your back on him, but accept his free gift of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our God is an amazing grace, that he will take wretched sinners like you and I, men and women who were once dead in trespasses and sins, and through that amazing grace he saves us. He gives us a new life in Christ Jesus, and he brings us through this life with its trials and its difficulties, and one day we will receive that inheritance with him in the glory. Dear friends, respond indeed to the call of the Lord Jesus Christ, the call of God.